There is a work being carried out in you, and this right here is a part of that work. God will complete his work in you. Whether you see it happening or not, it's being worked out. And one of the angels will give you a tour of your life in heaven, okay, and say, this is the work that was taking place, whether you saw it or not. God is carrying out his work in your life. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 2 if you want to turn there in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2. The title of the sermon is, We Are His Workmanship. His Workmanship. Heard of a story, maybe you heard of this one too. A couple was celebrating their golden wedding anniversary on the beaches of Jamaica, and their long-lasting marriage had been the talk of the town. People would say, what a peaceful and loving couple they are. The local newspaper reporter was inquiring to the secret of their long and happy marriage, and they asked him, what did you do to stay married so long? How are you doing that? Are you so peaceful and loving? The husband replied, well, it dates back to our honeymoon. We visited the Grand Canyon in Arizona. We took a trip down to the bottom of the canyon by horse, and we hadn't gone too far when my wife's horse stumbled and she almost fell off. And my wife looked at the horse and quietly said, that's one. We proceeded a little further, and her horse stumbled again, and my wife quietly said to the horse, that's two. We hadn't gone even half a mile when the horse stumbled a third time. My wife quietly removed a revolver from her purse and said, that's three, and shot the horse dead. I shouted to her, what's wrong with you? Why did you shoot the poor animal like that? Are you crazy? She looked at me quietly and said, that's one. Is that a bad joke? What's the secret to a church plant? That's one, okay? It's fun to look back on life and ask, how did we get here? When you're in the moment doing life and are making real decisions, trying to do the best that you can, setting goals, directions, and places you want to be, then after 10 years, you look back and say, wow, did I map out life, or how did I get here? I mean, it took such a different way than I had thought. I had plans, but God had a lot of different plans. And that's what today feels like for me again. I mean, I never knew I'd know this many people in LA years ago. We didn't know anybody. We only knew a couple people, really, when we showed up. And then over the years, it just, God starts working and doing things. I never knew we would go through 2020. We'd have to relaunch Legacy. We literally lose this building for an entire year. We, from March all the way to April 2021, we didn't get back in here until Easter 2021. It was a full 12, almost 13 months, and we have to relaunch Legacy 2.0. I never knew we would get this established. I still find myself calling us a church plant, but it's been 9 years. We're a church. We're here in Studio City, Los Angeles. Praise God, by the grace of God. Thomas Brooks said, a man were better to say there is no God than to say that God is not faithful. He is faithful. God has been faithful to us through all the ups and downs through 9 years. And we're here to thank him. We're here to celebrate him. For without him, how does any of this stuff even happen? How does it even work? The old men in my life just kept saying, just keep preaching the word of God. Just keep loving the people. No matter how difficult it gets, just keep preaching the word of God. Just keep loving the people. No matter how people treat you, no matter how difficult it gets, keep preaching the word of God. Just keep loving the people. Ephesians chapter 2, I want to reflect on his workmanship and what he has done for us. Can we stand for the reading of God's word? We always stand for the reading of God's word to pay honor to him and to remember whose word we are reading. Not my words, his words. His words have the power to change you forever, not mine. My words will encourage and motivate you a little bit. It'll never transform the heart, never transform the mind. So we go back to his word over and over and over again. We pay honor to him to remember whose word we are reading. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we bless you today. We bless you and you alone today. You deserve the praise. You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor, for you have sustained us. You have been faithful to us. You have taken care of us in this city, in the midst of LA. We thank you, God, that you are the sustainer, that you remain, that you are the craftsman, that we are your workmanship. You've created us for good works, and you will carry out your work. It will be accomplished. We love you, Lord. We commit this service to you now. We ask you'd bless our time in your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I really want to zoom in and focus in on verse 10 today, but let's see the context before we look closely at it. The Apostle Paul is laying out what new life in Christ looks like, where we started and where God is taking us. We are all on a journey, and God knows the path. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his ways. You make plans, but the Lord establishes his steps. You make plans, but God ultimately establishes the steps. He directs us. We see in verses 1 to 3 that we were dead in our sin, walking in the ways of the world, running from God, doing our own thing, truly on the highway to hell, like literally. But God, verse 4, anytime you see but God in the text, you should always circle that one. But God, because the author is making the point that God has stepped in. God has stepped into the scene. Stage right. Here he is coming on stage. Praise God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love in which he had for us, even we were dead in our trespasses, we were dead in our sin, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verses 4 to 7, but God loved us so much, even though we were dead in sin, because he is merciful, he raised us to life in Jesus. Resurrection. You remember your story? Where would you be if it were not for Christ? Still dead, running away in the other direction, still hurting and hating people, but praise God, the light has shown up inside. Praise God that his love has shown up inside and changed the heart and the mind and started to push you in the right direction towards loving and serving people and building people in this city. Praise God, he has changed us and redeemed us. He raises us to life and it abundantly on earth and in eternity. And in heaven, he will pour immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us. Can you believe that? We were dead, doing nothing for God. He shows up and saves us, redeems us, then gets on blessing us. It's amazing. The text tells us that we were once enemies of God, and he ropes us in. He brings us in. He welcomes us into the family. He adopts us as sons and daughters, and then says, here is your inheritance. You're like, but I haven't even been your son or your daughter for that long. I know, here comes the inheritance. Immeasurable riches. You can't calculate. Verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. No one will ever get to boast that I saved myself. For after all, if you can save yourself, you don't need God to save you. And if you can save yourself, then get on saving yourself and get on saving others with whatever it is you saved yourself with. Oh, wait, we realize when we are broken and lost, wandering in the world, hurting and hating people, hurting ourselves, And all of a sudden, God shows up in his mercy and says, I love you. I'm for you. I want to save you from yourself. And we're so thankful that he showed up. This is not your own doing. It is a gift from God to you. I praise God that he showed up in my life and that he stopped me in my tracks. I would have kept running hard the other direction. Who knows what I would have done? You know how many more people I would have hurt and torn down and messed up? The kingdom I would build for myself, take advantage of. But God in his mercy, God in his grace, showed up and said, I love you. I'm for you. I know you haven't done anything that great for me to do that for you, but I love you anyways. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to use you. Really? Some kid growing up in the Inland Empire, you're going to use them to go out to LA and try to minister and help people? Why are you going to do that? You could pick anybody that you want. Why me? I still ask that question to this day. I don't know why. Nothing spectacular about me. I'm just a normal person like you. I don't know why God showed up and started putting those burdens on my heart. I just knew I was supposed to follow after those things and take the step of faith and trust him. It's a gift. It's a gift when he uses you to bless and serve others. No one can boast that they did anything. God has done everything. We were dead. We did not raise ourselves to life. We did not resurrect ourselves. Only Jesus can do that. We have nothing to boast. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. God in his mercy, love, and grace chose to redeem us. Romans 4:12, listen, if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but his due. He worked, he gets paid. And the one who does not work but believes in him who justified the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. We did nothing, and God just shows up with a giant gift. He says, unwrap it. Don't you want to see it? What's inside, Lord? It's heaven. It's a relationship with me. It's my love and commitment to you forever. I'm actually going to rip out your heart of stone and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh that causes you to start loving and serving people, bringing peace and joy to the people around you, to your neighbors. I'm going to do that for you. Why? Because I love you. That's it. Not because of anything we've done. I'm going to use you. God has simply given you a gift because he wanted to. We didn't do anything. When you love someone, you like to buy them gifts. And God loved us so much that he allowed his son Jesus to pay for the gift of salvation on the cross and give it to us just because he loves us. My kids, I say this a lot, but it's the best illustration I got. I don't know why I love my kids so much. I've only known my little guy for 10 months. I got a 5-year-old, I got a 2, almost 3-year-old, and I got a 9, 10-month-year-old. When you know somebody for a long time, your love grows in depth for them because you understand more about them. I've only known him for 10 months, yet I would give my whole life for him and I would give my whole life to him. How? He can't even talk yet. He can't tell me anything. He hasn't done anything for me. All I've done is things for him, but I love him because I love him because I love him because I love him because I love him. I'm proud of him because I'm proud of him because I'm proud of him because I'm proud of him, not because of anything that he's done. And I believe that this is tapping into the love of the Father. What have I done? I'm just a little babe trying to figure it out here on the earth. And he says, I love you because I love you because I love you. God loves his people. He loves you. Some of you need to hear that today. It's hard for you to believe because of where you've been, because of what you've done. And he loves you anyways because he loves you. We were dead, running from God. Look at verse 10. He gave us the gift, and here it is. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Point number one, if you want to take notes, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his. We belong to him. We are his possession. We are his people. We are his family. We are his church. We are his workmanship. Watch this. workmanship which he has created, God's workmanship. He's the craftsman. The word workmanship is poema, the thing that is made, a workman making something. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 gives the same thing here. For the invisible things of him, from him, the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God created the earth, craftsmanship. He built the universe with his hands. And part of that creation is us. We are his workmanship. As God has created the creation with his hands for his glory and for his purpose, he has created us for his glory and his purpose as well. There is a reason for this universe. There is a reason for this earth. There is a reason for this society. And watch this. There is a reason for you. He has a purpose and plan and story and place for you. He created you. You are his craftsmanship. When we talk about someone's workmanship, we speak of their craft and how excellent or poor the workmanship is. And we say, the excellent workmanship of those cabinets is remarkable. Look at that finished carpenter. And look at the detail. Or the artist painting something or drawing something. Look at how incredible that is. The workmanship. So how can we be God's workmanship, God's craft, God's skill? We are. He has created us. He's crafted us. He's built us. He's formed us. He's made us. Look at verse 10 again, for we are his workmanship. Point number 2, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Here's the purpose. Here's the reason. We have been crafted excellently, like the universe, for good works in Christ Jesus. Love this. John Corson gave this picture about workmanship. He says in verse 10, we see God's work through us. The Greek word translated workmanship is poema, from which we get our word poem. Poem. Poetry. Thus, we are God's poetry. He says, on my way out to someplace in Oregon a number of years ago, I stopped by the side of the road at a little craft area where wood carving of bears, eagles, and Indians were for sale. I thought they were pretty good until I learned they were carved without hand tools of any sort, but only with chainsaws. Then I thought they were incredible. He says, the same is true of you and me. You might think you're not very impressive, but look in the mirror and consider what God had to work with. There is no shortage of those who say, you Christians aren't all that great. I see all kinds of inconsistencies, hypocrisy, and problems. Whenever I hear that, I don't defend myself, nor do I defend you. He says, I simply say, you're right, but you wouldn't have believed how bad we used to be. If you knew how we used to be, you would realize that compared to our former state, we're poetry. God is sanctifying us, making us new, redeeming us, restoring. He's working something in us. He's crafting something in us. God saved us, redeemed us, and raised us to life in Christ Jesus so he could work in us to produce good works for his glory. He has a plan to produce something in you specifically. You are a specific person with a specific plan that God has given. What is your mission? What is your calling? What craft are you from God? What has he called you to do? Titus 2:13, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. God has crafted me a specific way. I don't know why he did that. That's between him and the Trinity, why he did what he did in me. And the plan and story of my life, where I would grow up, the family I'd be born into, all the things that would happen to me in my youth and would bring me to a specific church in which I'd be raised up to become a pastor, then sent to plant a church in LA and start to do these works for God's glory. I don't know why he did that in me, but here's the kicker. We all have a story. We all have a mission. We all have a plan that God has placed in us. And I'm telling you, I'm just trying to figure out what he wants to do and get on doing that. And all of a sudden, this shows up 9 years later. Matthew 5:16, let your light, please, church, shine before others so that they would see your good works and start glorifying your God who is in heaven. God saved us that we would walk in good works for his glory, a mission. Have you ever written down what you think the mission and plan for your life is? God has called me to, and start filling that out. I know I am called to, fill it out. I know I'm supposed to be doing this today. I know I'm supposed to accomplish this year. I know that before I die, God wants me to do this, this, and this. For you are his creation, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Verse 10 again, point number three, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Point number three, which God prepared beforehand. God has planned to save us, redeem us, and use us for good works in this city of Los Angeles. Did you know that? Did you know that we planted the church in 2014, okay? Did you know that God was thinking about this church in the year 2001? He had a plan. He had prepared it beforehand. You rewind back to the 80s. That was a little tyke running around. That God would say, I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have a mission. I keep going back to my own story because it's the only story I know. But when I think about God thinking about the story and the plan and the good works and the workmanship beforehand, crafting and putting together in order to accomplish something, it blows my mind. Because I couldn't map this out or plan it out the way that it has gone. I wouldn't have. He prepared it beforehand. God knew when and how he would save you. He knows when and how he will use you. He knows when and how he will perfect you. He knows when and how he will humble you. He knows when and how he will save people through you. God knows when and God knows how. And church, listen, he has you where he wants you. I don't feel like that. Well, that's where you are today. He sure does have you right where he wants you. Even down to this very second, sitting in that chair next to those people at random. He has you where he wants you, and he's working something today, and he will work something tomorrow. It is up to you to just go to the captain, pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do today? And then you can reflect back on 9 years and see what he had you to do. It's that simple. This church, Legacy City Church, is a testimony of God's plan and work. Legacy, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Point number four, if you're taking notes, that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. And as we continue to walk in them, who will stop us? If we continue to walk in him, walk in his plan, walk in his works, which he has prepared beforehand, who can stop the people of God? The enemy wants, amen, Serge, get it. The enemy wants to destroy this church, but God will not let him. We have an amazing family of people, and God will carry out his plan. He will get the glory through this church in Studio City. The Lord has saved me, redeemed me, brought Katie and I here, brought the team and family here, gave us a place to meet and worship, provided money we need to pay the rent, made a way to see people get saved and baptized. People are being loved and served in the city. Disciples are being made. And this is just the beginning. Amen? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You can't even imagine what God has prepared. I'm telling you, I could not imagine this. You go talk to me at year one, day one. That would have been so fun. I should have done that. Like having a conversation with the friends who helped plant. Like we literally should have just wrote down all the things that we believe specifically that is going to happen over the next 10 years. And you go back and read it, and you're like, wow, God had different plans. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the purpose of the Lord will prevail. Who can stop his plan? You want to get in front of the train? Who's going to stop his will? Who's going to stop the plan of God in Los Angeles? I'm not getting in the way. If you want to try, you can stand in the way of the Creator and watch what happens. Just want to thank the Lord Jesus for his faithfulness to us. It is his church. If he didn't save us, guess what? We wouldn't be here. No good works. We have nothing to boast in but the Lord. C.S. Lewis said about the faithfulness of God, never, never pin your whole life on any human being, not if he is the best and wisest in the whole world. There are lots of nice things you can do with sand, but never build your house on it. Never. We build on the rock. The Lord Jesus, upon that rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. There is a work being carried out in you, and this right here is a part of that work. God will complete his work in you. Whether you see it happening or not, it's being worked out. And one of the angels will give you a tour of your life in heaven, okay, and say, this is the work that was taking place, whether you saw it or not. God is carrying out his work in your life. I do wonder why God uses specific people to do specific things and sometimes not others at all. The only way that I can see it through the responsibility of men and women is to simply yield yourself to God daily and say, God, what do you want me to do? And then obey that. And if you do that, you will find the path and God will use you to do great things. It is those who sit on the sidelines who see stuff happening through other people and wish it was happening through them. It's because we sit on the sidelines. Get in the game. The Lord continues to work in you regardless of you. He will bring the work to completion. Psalm 138:8, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. O Lord, your loving devotion endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. My favorite. Are you ready? 2 Timothy 2:13. Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I have to confess, there have been many times of faithlessness over the last 9 years, but God has remained faithful to me. For it is who he is to remain with me, to carry us, to bring his plan to fruition. And no one can stop him. It's not my work, it's his. He will complete the plan. He will save. He will restore. He will redeem. He will remain faithful to us. He cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his own character. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is always going to be there for you, even if you run. Did you know that? You can run, but he will find you. You can run, but you can't hide. You can try. Adam, where are you? Did God really not know? Adam, where are you? Right? It's like the child hiding behind the curtains. You know, you can see their feet. I see you. What are you doing? I'm just trying to use you. And isn't it amazing that in God using us for his glory, we get to experience the blessing. That wrapped in that workmanship is unbelievable joy and peace and rest and blessings that you could never count in your life. You know, when you get to minister or help someone come to salvation or love on and serve, for it is far better to give than receive. When you get to do that for somebody else, why does that build your soul? Why does that bless you? Why does that minister to you when we're doing this unto God? He lets you share in the blessing. He says to you and me, I will love you no matter what. His people. All you got to do is look at every character in the Bible. I will love you no matter what. I'm going to be there. Even if you're not there, you're trying to run and hide from me, I will find you. You are my child, and I will love you. I will be faithful to complete my work in you, even when you have days of doubt. I will be with you. That's all that Moses needed to hear from the Lord, huh? I will be with you. Moses, the Red Sea, the wilderness, I will be with you. Love you, church. Thanks for being faithful all these years. LA is not easy. I'm telling you, man. I mean, I've done a lot of difficult things in life. This is, hands down, the most difficult. Somebody was, I think it was my wife just saying, she was talking to somebody and who doesn't live in LA, and he's like, oh yeah, we, you know, planted a church in LA like 9 years ago. And it's like, wait, you made it through? You guys are still alive? In Los Angeles, there's a church? Yes. By the grace of God, we made it through. I didn't know what to do, to be honest. Let my hair down real quick here. I got a little bit. I didn't know what to do. Lost the building. I had to figure it out. I just kept praying each day. Lord, what do you want me to do? Give me wisdom. I don't know what to do. Give me wisdom. What do you want us to do? It just came one day at a time. And then you look back. People are like, wow, it's incredible what you did. It's incredible. Not really. It's really simple. Just go to the Lord. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Be obedient to his word as best you can. Keep loving and serving people. Keep preaching his word. And that's it. And watch what God will do. Amen. Let's pray and thank God for his work in our lives. And then let's party, okay? Lord, we worship you. We thank you for your work. For we are truly your workmanship, and anything good that has come in our lives. If we get seasons of being a great husband or wife, a great mother or father, a great business person. If we get seasons of life in which we are have great success in what we are doing and accomplishing, we realize this is you. It's because of you. If we get to bring people to salvation and disciple somebody and build somebody up or pray for them, and they say, thank you, we know it's because of you. And so, Lord, we worship you today. We give the glory back to you. We bless you for all your great work in our lives, and we ask, God, would you please continue the work that you've started? Lord, we yield ourselves to you. We open our arms, we open our hands now and say, God, use me. I am yielded to you. Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom in these days. Show us what you want us to do. And we will do it. We will be obedient. We will submit to your ways. We will walk in your ways. We will love and serve people for your glory. We will stand for your word. We will stand for truth. We will stand in the gap. We will pursue the enemy like lions. We will be bold. Give us wisdom. Give us peace. Give us patience and joy for your glory. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for all that you've done. We give you the glory. We do it in Jesus' name. Amen.